Acts 13, starting at verse 44. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country. And there they continued to preach the gospel."
Well, three unchangeable realities of the 21st century that I hope will light up the dim and gloomy darkness of this latest lockdown setback. You might like to call them locked down certainties of the 21st century. And with all the uncertainty of the election, the miserable news of another month in isolation, here are three realities that I hope will light up our lives. I'm calling them the certainties of light: revelation, proclamation, hostility. Let's begin with revelation and God's plan of salvation. And really the key verse of this fourth section of the book of Acts, and I really think it does unlock the whole of the fourth section of the book of Acts, has to be verse 47 of chapter 13. Where the Apostle Paul and Barnabas together announce, "So the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.'" It is God's unalterable purpose, his unshifting goal, to have his salvation proclaimed to the furthest coastlands of this globe. And the image of light there is so powerful, isn't it? "I've made you a light for the nations, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." Like dawn rising with the first glimmers giving way to blazing midday sun, or like a stage set shrouded in gloom, then gradually illumined by the undimmed footlights, or the streetlights flickering across a city, coming on one by one and then lighting up the whole piece. It is God's purpose for the fire of his salvation, now kindled, to blaze across the globe, coast to coast, city to city, hilltop to mountain peak. The image of light is so evocative, but the light of which Paul is speaking, given the sermon which he has just preached, is the light of God's revelation and of God's salvation. And you can see that from the second half of this key verse. "I've made you a light for the nations, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." And we can see this theme of salvation running right the way through Paul's sermon. So the Apostle Paul has just preached. We have in chapter 13 of Acts the first record of a sermon of Paul that is available to us. In fact, it's the first record of a sermon preached outside of Israel that is available to us. And Paul is speaking in a place called Pisidia Antioch. It's like the crossroads between the Mediterranean, the Aegean, and the Anatolian region of modern-day Turkey. And all the way through this sermon, he mentions salvation. So verse 23, of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. And then verse 26, brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of salvation. But in his summary, he explains what this salvation is. And it's there in verse 38 and 39. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by Jesus, everyone who believes is justified from everything from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So this is the salvation. And we saw last week that this salvation is a declaration of forgiveness, of final day verdict of righteousness to everybody who trusts in the Lord Jesus. So here's this first point from this key verse 47, I have made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation, this salvation of declaration of forgiveness, righteous in God's sight, that will go to the ends of the earth. Now, the reception of that sermon is quite remarkable. If you look in verse 42, as they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And then verse 43, a whole group of people, after meeting the synagogue, breaks up, devout converts to Judaism and Jews, follow Paul and Barnabas and speak with them about the grace of God. And then verse 44, 7 days later, the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of God. Do you know, I was looking at this with a group yesterday, and somebody said to me, with all due respect, William, I've been listening to your preaching for the last 15 years, but I've never experienced anything quite like this. But you'll notice that in verse 46, that some Jews reject. Paul says this fascinating thing. It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Yes, because Jesus is a Jewish Messiah. But since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, now we're going to the nations. And so it is God's unshakable purpose for the good news of salvation to advance across the globe as he, if you like, switches on the light of revelation, salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, verse 47 here in this text is a quote from Isaiah chapter 49, a really famous chapter in the Bible. And I've been persuaded that if we're going to understand what Paul is saying properly, we have to go back to its original context in Isaiah 49. So that's what we're going to do now. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 to 6. And Isaiah 49 begins with a figure addressing all the nations of the world. It's a remarkable beginning. Look at 49, verse 1. Listen to me, O coastlands. Give attention, you people from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named my name. Now, this is an extraordinary statement, isn't it? As with, if you like, a grand celestial megaphone, this figure addresses all the nations of the world. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention to me, people from afar. But this then figure then speaks of himself and of his commission. And the imagery is militaristic, but the weapons of his warfare are words. So verse 2, he made my mouth sharp like a sword. The shadow of his hands, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow in his quiver. He hid me. In other words, his word is to be sharper than a two-edged sword. He is to slice through deception. He will drive back lies. Half-truths will be laid bare. His word will cut through all the bull and the bluster of the city. Falsehoods, misspeech, and mixed motives will lie exposed by his word. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. And notice, by his word, he pierces the most highly developed defenses of the soul, dividing even to joint and marrow. Like a steel-tipped arrow, he will pierce right into the conscience, right to the heart of a man. He made me a polished arrow in his quiver. He hid me. So here is God, here is your creator, here is God's servant, this is the man. And through his word, he is going to wage warfare. And his word will be like a sharp sword, cutting, dividing, joint and marrow, piercing to the very heart of the soul. Interestingly, in verse 4, because his weaponry is words, he doesn't initially seem very impressive. He's not much of a looker, you might say. Truth doesn't necessarily come clothed in glamour. He won't have the sex appeal of the Hollywood idol or the celebrity status of the international rock star. And then we get to verse 6. And this is our verse. He says, "Is it too light a thing for you to be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and bring back the preserved of Israel?" In other words, am I going to confine your ministry just to a tiny little nation somewhere in the Middle East? No way. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. This is God himself speaking. This is our creator speaking. He made the universe, and his salvation is going to go to the furthest coastlands, from city to city, from shore to shore, from hilltop to mountain peak. It's going to spread across the whole world in the hands of this servant, whose voice will be like a sword and whose ministry will pierce to the division of joint and marrow. And the imagery of light is so evocative, isn't it? You know, I don't know how you find the turning back of the clocks. I mean, if you're listening from overseas, this won't make any sense to you if you come from Singapore, because it's the same weather all through the year and so forth. But here in England, we turn back the clocks, and, you know, up in the Northern Hemisphere, it gets darker earlier and whatever it does anyway. And, you know, gloom descends, and then we have lockdown. But this imagery of light, gloom dispelled, despair dispersed, darkness driven back. And as we read on, we discover that this servant pursues this ministry of salvation by sacrificing himself for sin so that God's people can be forgiven. And so you've read Isaiah, you've done your homework, you've looked at this verse in its context, and if you're a person from Isaiah's time, you're longing for the arrival of this servant. And you know when this verse is next quoted? Do you know when this verse is next quoted? As the baby Jesus is brought into the temple. And this old man, Simeon, takes hold of the baby Jesus, not sure if he actually lifts the baby up, and he quotes almost word for word from Isaiah 49. This child will be a light to the nations. He will bring salvation to the ends of the earth. It's an extraordinary thing to say of a baby, isn't it? I was just trying to work out what our newest baby is in St. Helens. I think it's Jude, maybe another one since then. But Jude was in church this Sunday, and as you can imagine, everybody was cooing over Jude. Well, don't tell my wife or my kids this, but to be honest, they all look the same. Don't tell Jude's mother. She may be listening, but, you know, they all look the same, basically, don't they? But in comes baby Jesus to the temple, and this verse is quoted, this child, a light to the nations, salvation to the ends of the earth, with that salvation being the forgiveness of sins and the declaration of God's final day verdict, so that we can have our guilt lifted off our shoulders and be united to God. Now, the next time that verse then gets quoted is here in Acts 13 with the Apostle Paul speaking. And I want us to look very, very closely, because there's a big surprise you may not have noticed when you first read it. Acts 13, 46. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying to the Jews who were opposing them, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, of course, the Jewish Messiah, the Jewish salvation. Since you thrust this word aside and you judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, that's a fascinating theological statement for anybody who thinks about these things. They judge themselves unfit for salvation. Behold, we're turning to the nations, we, Paul and Barnabas. For so God has commanded us, Paul and Barnabas, saying to us, I have made you a light for the nations. Now that is an extraordinary thing for Paul to say. You can understand Jesus being the servant and the light for the nations. But Paul and Barnabas are saying now they are speaking of the Lord Jesus. They have become the light for the nations as they proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. So here is God's plan, salvation, revelation to the ends of the earth in the name of Jesus. And here is what the Apostle Paul is suggesting at this point in the book of Acts. That as believers now in the Lord Jesus Christ, in some sense, they have become the fulfillment of Isaiah 49. Originally about Israel, then about Jesus, then about Jesus, and now about the church. That those with the gospel, if you like, are part of the servant's great work of taking God's plan of salvation to the ends of the earth. Here is God's salvation plan. Here is the first certainty of light, a lockdown certainty that this salvation is going to be announced to the ends of the earth. I wonder if you remember the scene in Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings trilogy in The Return of the King when Pippin lights the beacon to summon the armies of Gondor from Minas Tirith. And then another beacon, and another beacon, and another beacon, and another beacon. Or some of you oldies will remember the British Gas advert. I can't remember what the words were, but the light came on, and the light came on, and the light came on, and the light came on. Or perhaps with November the 5th just around the corner, remember that sparkler, you know, mum and dad light the sparkler, all the children gather around, and then it goes off to the furthest corners of the field, hoping you don't set the whole box on fire. And here is the unstoppable plan and purpose of God. That in this dark world, with all its gloom and despair, shrouded in division and uncertainty, there is light, revelation from God, planned in eternity, focused in Jesus, contained in the word of salvation, and now declared to the world. And this, of course, is a key point in the book of Acts. Because in part one of the book, the word went to Jerusalem. In part two of the book, the word spread from Judea to Samaria. In part three of the book, the first Gentile is converted. And now in part four of the book, we have this sermon delivered in modern-day Turkey outside of Israel. And this part of the book concludes with chapter 15 with a great discussion about the Gentiles now being included. And Paul announces, God has in some way made his people, by association with the servant, part of this great servant ministry of taking the gospel to the ends of the world. I love verse 48 and the response that you find there. When the nations, the Gentiles, that is, it's literally the ethnics, when the ethnics heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. It's perfectly balanced with verse 46. You judge yourselves unworthy. Those God who chose believed. Well, I don't know how you receive news of lockdown. I was on the road back from the West Country, and we awaited the report from Boris at 4 o'clock, and then at 5 o'clock, and then at 5:30, and then at 6 o'clock, and eventually it came at 6:30. We were switching on the radio, switching it off, switching it on again, and so forth. And I have to tell you, I found myself, you know, a little dispirited. Shall we put it like that? I'm not a cup half-empty kind of guy, but I did find myself a little bit dispirited. But this has been the most wonderful tonic. For with all the props of this world now stripped away, here is Jesus, the servant, whose voice will go to the ends of the earth. And through this man, Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to the ends of the earth. And by Jesus, everyone who believes is justified from everything they could not be justified by from the law of Moses. And because it's the work of God, it goes to the end of the world. And because it's by faith, it's available to all. And because Jesus has paid for sin, it is free. And because sin is dealt with, we can be forgiven. Light dawns with this glorious message of salvation. It's a certainty of light. And through thick and thin, social disorder and virulent disease, war and peace, lockdown or unlockdown, here is a certainty of light. And even in the isolation of your flat, or the loneliness of your shielding, as you listen to the Lord Jesus and this message of light, revelation, salvation comes to you and you receive the Lord Jesus, you can have pronounced over you the final day verdict, forgiven, made right, friends with God. Well, the other two things I was going to say really are inevitable as a result of verse 47. I'm just going to touch on them very, very briefly. But the second certainty of light is proclamation. I mean, it has to be the case, doesn't it? That if verse 47 is now true and light has dawned, and if Paul and Barnabas with the word of the gospel are now part of this servant ministry, then that gospel has to be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. And it's interesting, isn't it, the note and the link with Isaiah 49. How was it in Isaiah 49 that the servant was to do his word? Oh, through the sword of his voice, through his word penetrating. And how does the gospel get established in Jerusalem? Oh, on Pentecost, the great event with the coming of the Spirit was a great sermon. And in Acts 4, as the Spirit falls, what happens to the believers? They speak the word with boldness. And in Acts 11, the church is founded through the preaching of the word. And now in our passage, you can see it just on almost every single verse. Verse 44, they gathered to hear the word. Verse 46, Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly. It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Verse 48, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. Verse 49, the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. Chapter 14, verse 1, they spoke in such a way. Verse 3, they remained in Iconium for a long time, speaking boldly. Verse 7, and they fled to Lystra and Derbe, and they continued to preach the gospel. So it's not a new point. It's not a difficult point. It's not a different point, but I wish it could be drilled into every church leader, every theological college principal, every bishop's head, every single Christian believer, that when the Spirit comes, the believer speaks. It runs all the way through Acts, all the way through the Gospels, all the way through the New Testament. And what Paul speaks, well, it's the same gospel that Peter spoke, or Stephen spoke, or that you and I speak. He spoke the word, he spoke the word. He spoke the word, he spoke the word, because this word of the glorious gospel, offering salvation, light to the nations, this word is the sword of the king, and it pierces to the very division of joint and marrow. Cuts right through the word of God. All the bull, all the bluster of the city, just swept to one side as the word penetrates. Are you forgiven by God? How do you stand before God? On Judgment Day, which side will you be on? What is your record? Forgiveness is available in and through the servant Jesus. And this message is to be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. And it's a lockdown certainty. Nothing's going to stop it being proclaimed. You know, they can shut up our churches. You know, they can try and close us down, but believers are going to speak it. Every person who has the Holy Spirit will find themselves speaking to their friends and colleagues, their families and loved ones of the Lord Jesus. You cannot stop it. They tried it in Soviet Russia. They tried it in communist China. They may try it in 21st century Britain, but here is a lockdown certainty. The light of salvation will go to the ends of the earth. It's God's plan. And believers will speak. Well, the last point is obvious. You can see it when you study the passage for yourself. Hostility. Is this a certainty of light or a certainty of darkness? The world will hate the message because the message is true. And the world loves lies and hates truth. And as the sword cuts through the bull and the bluster, the world's response is, as the Jews, is here, manipulative, verbal abuse, and ultimately physical force. Well, I hope that cheers you up on Tuesday. I can't remember if it's the 2nd or the 3rd. Is it the 2nd today? Tuesday, the 2nd of November. What a wonderful certainty, set of certainties of light. The gospel we proclaimed, salvation. Proclamation is certain, and you will be persecuted. Let's pray together. We thank you for this glorious message of salvation. We thank you, our Father in heaven, that it brings revelation to us. We're enabled to see things clearly. Above all, that you bring to us forgiveness. We thank you for the Lord Jesus from coast to coast, proclaimed as King and Saviour. We pray that you will enable us to respond rightly and not to be those who judge ourselves unworthy of this gospel. And we pray that you might bring to us many, many, many people who you have prepared for salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.